ahead of the State of the Union address, President Trump has decided to speak out about several military issues. After the president said sending U.S. troops to Venezuela was an option on the table, Margaret Brennan, on CBS's Face the Nation, asked him if he would personally negotiate with Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro to convince him he should leave office.
Well, he has requested a meeting, and I've turned it down because we're very far along in the process. You have a young and energetic gentleman, but you have other people within that same group that have been if you talk about democracy, it's really democracy in action.
He also said he wanted to leave U.S. forces in Iraq so he could keep a close eye on Iran. He also claimed that Defense Secretary James Mattis resigned because he told him to do it. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The New England Patriots are champions of the National Football League once again.
Yes, it's still a dynasty.
The call on the Patriot Radio Network as they beat the Los Angeles Rams 13-3. For most of the game, it was a defensive struggle. The score was tied 3-3. Then midway through the fourth quarter, Patriot quarterback Tom Brady took over and led the Patriots on a 67-yard drive. That ended by a 2-yard touchdown run by Sony Michel that proved to be the game-winning score. The Patriots added a field goal at the very end. New England wins their sixth Super Bowl championship. Ram fans were disappointed, but Patriot fans were ecstatic.
Oh, six, baby. Six. That's all I got to say.
Go Pats! Heck yeah! Brady number six!
President Trump may face challenges within his own party in 2020. USA's Rick Vincent reports.
Former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld plans to headline Politics and Eggs in New Hampshire in 2 weeks, a must-stop for White House hopefuls. And Maryland Governor Larry Hogan expressed interest this week to CNN.
I'm not protesting every day about every issue, but when I stand up and certainly let people know when I disagree or when I think something is going on that I don't think is right.
And an email this week by former Ohio Governor John Kasich's political group reminded supporters that many have suggested Governor Kasich should run, and he is keeping all of his options on the table. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hey, Pat.
Did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Our local weather here today at HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. It's 33, just above freezing outside right now. Chance of snow today. We had a little bit last night. High will be in the upper 30s. Snow likely this evening, low in the upper 20s, and then maybe some of that snow will stretch into tomorrow. Could change to freezing rain and sleet as the day warms up. Rain and freezing rain Tuesday night, becoming all rain after 8 p.m., so it'll be warming up a little bit. Rain Wednesday morning, and then otherwise it'll be cloudy, high in the 40s, warming up again. Low Wednesday night in the 20s. Thursday, sunny, clearing up, high in the mid-40s. Friday, rain likely between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. Otherwise, cloudy, high near 50. Showers likely. So it looks like rain to finish out the week, clearing up on Sunday finally, high in the upper 30s. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Or good afternoon, or evening, depending on when you're listening to this. Chef Bill here at Chef Bill's Table, 100andchamberradio.com, WHCRDB. Getting together on Mondays for talk about mostly food, right? I like our food holidays and any excuse to celebrate, right? Got Valentine's Day coming up on a weeknight, so could be good, could be not so good, depending on your work schedule, other things in your busy lives that you have planned. And I guess we wanted to sneak out the day before you could. Some restaurants are making it Valentine's weekend. And yeah, I guess it makes sense if you normally can't get out till Friday or Saturday. Why not? I've celebrated holidays like that for years, with few exceptions. They always were celebrated birthdays and things like that on the nearest day off. It's not really about the specific day. It's about the person or the occasion or the memory. So just keep that in mind. I know we are tied to certain days for certain things, and it's nice to keep traditions, but sometimes we break those traditions. Don't be afraid to do that. Anyway. I started thinking about things that happen all the time in the professional kitchen, probably happen to you at home, when something you're working on, you're creating something, cooking, and it doesn't quite turn out the way you expected, or you find, oh, I didn't really read the whole recipe, and I'm halfway through, and I'm missing an ingredient, what can I substitute? Or I undercooked something, or I overcooked something, or, oh, I was going to use this, but I don't have any on hand, I can't run to the store. And sometimes, there's certain times it doesn't work too well, I have to admit. You try something and it fails, although with food, unless you've really burned it, you can always beat your mistakes. That's what I tell my students in culinary classes. And, you know, worst case scenario, you know, it didn't turn out quite that way. You know, it's still not going to be horrible. And I think there's some great examples of that. One really relates to what we're talking about today with Valentine's Day, chocolate. The molten chocolate cake, the lava cake, which is kind of variations of it, are everywhere now. And it really came about, I believe, Jean-Georges von Gerichten. One time somebody just underbaked these individual cakes. They cut into them, and the center ran out, and all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute, this is pretty cool. You know, I can rename this or rebrand it. Instead of calling it just a chocolate cake, we call it something else. And, of course, it's much imitated. There's all kinds of variations. We'll give you a quick rundown on it. It really just is an undercooked cake, and the cake batter is still running. My son worked in a restaurant one time. He had to make those. He made them in muffin tins, made small batches of them. And if you want a quick dessert, I'll tell you, it's not a bad way to go. Restaurants that do them often do them to order. And there's other kind of imitations out there, which is a little bundt cake with some ganache or something in the center, and maybe a cookie or something on top. There's, as I say, just having that chocolate sauce and the cake is kind of neat. I think of the Spago Pizza. Even though Wolfgang Puck, he was California Pizza, started obviously trying to put different ingredients on pizza than were traditional. You know, all kinds of vegetables and seafood, and not necessarily what we think of as classic pizza. And his pizza man, Ed Ledoux, I guess one day he had a smoked salmon appetizer, and it normally came on brioche, nice, rich egg bread. They didn't have any. They were out, probably toward the end of service. So the pizza guy says, we'll just put it on a pizza crust. He's just trying to get some kind of bread out there to put the smoked salmon on. So he baked a crust with a little shaved onion on it, and that changed everything. That's how the dish became presented and became well-known the world over. Everybody, if you think of Spago Pizza, that's what you think of, is the smoked salmon. And I've done that in the past with, let's say we don't have any pita breads for our hummus platter. Well, I'll just run a pizza crust through the oven, you know, flavor it up a little bit and cut it into wedges, and you've got something. With our porterhouse salad at Jake's, it came out of using some meat tips that we had. We had, you know, a marinated steak, and for a sliced steak, we would use the ends of, you know, smaller cuts that weren't the right size to serve your guests, and make a sliced steak out of it. But I had these tips left over. It used to be a lot of times we would, you know, often places will grind them into the hamburger mix or serve it to staff for a staff meal. And we made a salad out of it. We put these tips in there, near tenderloin and sirloin, hence the name porterhouse, the two cuts, and cut them into little cubes, put them in the marinade, and serve them on a nice spring mix salad. Some gorgonzola, some vinaigrette, just that steak and salad type thing. And the item became more popular than the we didn't really have enough leftover tips, so we actually buy tenderloin and sirloin meat to cut into tips for that salad because it's so popular. So this is, of course, in a restaurant, it's what you kind of dream of as a way to use everything. But I'm sure in your days of cooking, any of you out there that do it, you've had instances where you've substituted something or presented something in a different way and it turned out that to be better or more acceptable. Neat thing is, if your guests don't really know what you're doing ahead of time anyway, it doesn't matter, right? If you were going to do something as a roast and it didn't come out, I'll turn it into a ragu for a pasta sauce. So you might, if you think about it, we kind of do these things all the time. Sometimes substitutes don't make sense. Sometimes in baking, if you try to substitute an extra fine sugar for regular, your measurement might come wrong. You can't substitute confectioner sugar for regular sugar, kosher salt, regular salt. Sometimes things don't work out. But other times they do. If you don't have a certain vinegar for a dressing, think of the flavor. If you have a different one, you're just looking for the that acid element in there. You know, if you don't have lemon juice, will lime juice work? Or will orange juice work? Or a combination of orange and lime? Anything, you know, little things like that we do all the time. And once you're comfortable with your techniques and with your formulas, your proportions, it becomes easier to do this. And you can make yourself, sometimes you come out a hero. When we come back, we're going to talk about actually chocolate today, favorite Valentine's dish, no matter what we're cooking. Usually end the meal with chocolate. And a couple of, you know, ways to do it, work with only a handful of ingredients and something very easy to do. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Sheffield's table here at WHCRDB. So chocolate. They all love chocolate, right? Can't get enough of it, it seems. And of course now it's gone beyond just whether I get, in other words, milk chocolate, you know, and very popular. But dark chocolate, and now it's gone to where you will see the percent of cacao or cocoa product in the mix, because chocolate actually, after it's processed, it's a fermented product, by the way, like many of the great things we like, coffee, beans are fermented, tea, some tea, well, black tea is definitely fermented or oxidized. So the chocolate, of course, very bitter when it's done with that process. And then, of course, it was a beverage, just like coffee, for a long time in this hemisphere. It's a Western Hemisphere product. Once sugar was added, then it became popular in Europe. And, of course, people added milk. The dairy was nice, and it became more affordable for everyone. Was again one of the, like, many new things. First was royalty, only the people with money could enjoy it, and then once figured out how to stretch it out, I guess, or make it more accessible, and everybody could enjoy it. So with chocolate, basically you've got your solids in there, then other things. With milk chocolate, of course, there's dairy added to it. Sometimes there's corn syrups, there's stabilizers, other things that go in there. White chocolate is sweet, There's no cocoa solids in there at all. It's just the cocoa butter. Some people say, well, it's not really chocolate. You know, it does have that hint of flavor. It's nice appearance-wise, and you have a little variety if you like to do the white chocolate, dark chocolate thing. Still, yeah, it's pretty popular. Of course, your dark chocolate has some fat in it and some sugar. U.S., the minimum has to be 15% chocolate liquor in there. European Union is minimum is 35%. The more solids you have, the more bitter the chocolate is, or conversely, less sweet. You've got more of the cocoa in there. Now, semi-sweet, we have there's a lower amount of sugar in there than your regular sweet chocolate. Bittersweet is also one you'll see in recipes. And bittersweet and semi-sweet pretty much interchangeable in recipes. So if something calls for bittersweet chocolate, if you get, I'll give you a recipe for chocolate mousse today that we used to use, just melt down semi-sweet chocolate chips, not sweet ones, but good semi-sweet chocolate chips. But if you want to do a tasting, I know we've done that in the past on Valentine's Day where you get little samples, and if you try chocolate from different countries and different percentages of cacao, it's almost like doing a red wine tasting. You find, especially as you get higher percent of cacao in there, other flavors come out and nuances that you don't get from just plain ordinary milk chocolate that has a lot of sugar and, of course, the dairy in there. Unsweetened chocolate is very bitter. Obviously, it's for baking. Normally, you'll use that when you're adding sugar, other sweet things to the mix. So depending on what you're doing, the semi-sweet or bittersweet probably are most often what you're going to use. Then, of course, there's cocoa powder, Dutch processed cocoa powder, so it's just the powder, which also is used in cakes and other recipes to where you don't want the fat and all the other things in there. Of course, hot chocolate, great winter beverage. And again, you know, there's mixes out there, milk chocolate, but if you really want to do it right, melt down some very good chocolate and make your own. Although I think even dark chocolate now, you'll see in some of these hot chocolate mixes. So we've got our chocolate, and when we're using it in cooking, of course, normally we're going to melt it. You have to be careful. You could do it in a microwave. You could do it if you do it on the stove. Normally we do it over a boiling water bath. You don't want to scald or burn the chocolate. Microwave on lower powers just seems to be a nice way to do it. Or in the case of making a chocolate ganache, the hot cream is poured right over the chocolate. Let it sit for a couple of minutes and then stir it, and it melts it nicely. You don't want to get it too hot, you know, much over, you know, 100-some degrees. It's not good. It might lump up on you. It might separate, although it's kind of easy to fix that. But you'll see your people that work with chocolate a lot talk about tempering it. A lot of times if they're getting just the unprocessed chocolate in, there's a very precise process of temperature, how long you hold it, and do you stir it, do you not stir it. And it's really an art, and of course a science, a lot of science behind it. But for the most part, we can find chocolate ready to use for our recipes. So something like chocolate ganache, one of those great things, once you get that in your repertoire, one of the easiest things to make, and it's very, very useful. Ganache can be used as a coating, a glaze on a cake or a pastry. It can be chilled and scooped into little balls and make truffles. It can be cooled and then whipped into a filling for a cake. So many, many uses. It actually, for chocolate fondue, which would be one of, could be a great, easy dessert to do, is basically a form of ganache. You're melting chocolate and cream and some kind of flavoring. And the nice thing about ganache is you can vary the proportions according to what your taste is or according to what you're doing. You could have a little bit more of the cream, maybe if you're doing a filling. Well, it depends on the percent of the strength of your chocolate. I say, you know, if you're only making a little bit, it's probably better to use very, very good chocolate and not have to use so much of it than to have something inexpensive and you're going to eat a lot of it. But there is, chemically in chocolate, there are things that work on our brains, just like THC. There is no THC in chocolate, but there are, it's a kind of a feel-good type feeling. Certain, obviously, from fermented products, the umami, that extra taste in there. We're finding a little salt helps with chocolate. Chilies work very well with chocolate and kind of intensifies the chocolate flavor. My favorite with chocolate is to introduce a little bit of espresso in there, a little dark roast coffee, either the powder or very, very short brew there, the ristretto, very intense. It's not good to take regular coffee and boil it down. I've seen that done. It really doesn't do the coffee any good. It turns it bitter. But espresso powder, another thing to keep in your pantry, or you can keep it in the freezer if you like, well sealed up, or in the refrigerator. When you're melting chocolate, say for a chocolate mousse, I like a little bit of the coffee in there. And besides another flavoring, brandy or some kind of liqueur, depending on what your preference is, what your end result's going to be. But when you're making a ganache, you're simply going to take some chocolate. If you've got 8 ounces of chocolate cut up, and let's say 10 ounces of bittersweet chocolate, and you can melt that with 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter. Melt it slowly over a water bath or in the microwave. You'll get, for this, you need 1 1/2 cup of cream and 1 tablespoon of corn syrup. And this would be for probably good for making truffles. And about 1/4 cup of either brandy or some other kind of flavoring in there. But you heat the cream and the corn syrup. Of course, the corn syrup is going to help stabilize and add a little sweetness. You'll combine these two together with your flavoring. And then you need about 1/2 cup of cocoa, the dried cocoa powder, or some chopped nuts, some toasted almonds, walnuts, and even some more finely chopped chocolate, if you like, to roll the truffles in. But this ganache, this proportion, there's a, let's see, for fondue, again, it's about even. 2 cups of cream, 1 pound of semi-sweet chocolate. You could use up to 1.5 pounds if you like, but 1 pound would be good. If you want a deeper chocolate, use a little bit more. A tablespoon of vanilla and 1 tablespoon of brandy or other liqueur. Again, heat the cream. You have the chocolate, either if they're chips or chopped up finely. You're going to heat the cream, just scald it just to the bubbles start, and then pour it over the chocolate. Let it sit for a couple of minutes and then stir. Should be nice and smooth. Don't whip it too much. Don't put too much air into it. And then add your flavoring. Now, a little variation, if you like spicy, what I've done before is adding to the cream is take 1 chipotle and adobo pepper. They come in little tiny cans. Take out one of those peppers and put it in the cream. And after you heat the cream, let it steep for about 20 minutes, just like you're brewing tea, 15, 20 minutes. Then you would strain out the chili and use that hot cream to melt the chocolate. you get that little residual heat in there. It does intensify the chocolate flavor a lot. So if you like spice, I've seen, you know, brownies and things done with it, and sometimes people just add a little cayenne to it. But I think the chipotle, because of the, it's a smoke dried jalapeno, and you got that little bit of adobo sauce with it, gives the chocolate a nice heat. We've got a break for news. We'll come back and maybe look at that molten cake and maybe some chocolate mousse or the flop cake. Another mistake, right? Cake that doesn't seem to come out too well, but actually is very, very good. A friend of mine used to call it flop cake. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Back at Chef Bill's Table here. So your ganache or your fondue, whatever you've made, your melted nice chocolate. So if you're using it for fondue, you keep it warm. Don't boil it. And you can dip fruit in there, toasted pound cake, cookies, pretzels, all kinds of things. Dried fruit if you like. An orange, pineapple, cherries. All these things could be a nice quick way to just linger over dessert. And so if you say if you're going out for Valentine's, but have dessert at home. Take you a few minutes to make a chocolate fondue, and you're all set. Or if you need this ganache, if you want to use it to glaze a cake, you simply let it come down to room temperature. You can get it, leave it warm enough so you can pour and glaze. Or if you let it cool a little bit more to where it's spreadable, I used to do this on Sicilian cassata, ricotta cake with your yellow cake with the ricotta cannoli filling, and then we would glaze, actually frost it with the ganache. Or if you want to whip it for a filling for chocolate cake, and it could be, you know, your flop cake or even regular chocolate cake, you will chill in the refrigerator for a while and then be able to whip it just like chocolate whipped cream, right? And it's not going to be beaten very, very stiff like regular whipped cream, but just it'll lighten it up and allow you to spread it and use it for a filling. One restaurant I worked at, that was our chocolate decadence, we called it. We had chocolate ice, devil's food cake with the whipped ganache filling, and then the regular ganache was on the outside. So you had to use two ways there, the same substance. If you like truffles, which is something you can make ahead, like making your own great candy, right? Don't rely on somebody else's ingredients. You have your a good dark chocolate ganache, and you chill it totally. Be able to scoop it with a little melon baller. So you scoop it, put the little balls on wax paper. Now, if you want to shape them uniformly, of course, put a couple of gloves on or make sure your hands are very clean. Roll them in little balls, and then get them chilled again. And the simplest way is to just roll them in cocoa powder so they look like actual black truffles, a little neat darlings that come out of the ground. There's other processes you can go through whereby you would chill the truffles down and melt some, have some dipping chocolate, dip them in melted chocolate to coat them and then let them chill, or dip them in chocolate and then roll them in maybe crushed toasted almonds. You could do toasted coconut. Some people, put white chocolate, if you want to dip them in white chocolate. You can also flavor the ganache, again, with a little bit, if you like almond, use amaretto. If you like orange, use triple sec or Grand Marnier. If you like brandy or cherry liqueur, any of those things. Or if you like the coffee flavor, a little bit of coffee liqueur. But a couple of tablespoons of that in your mix there. Do it to taste. You could make a good-sized batch of this and flavor each one separately if you like. Also, if you wanted to mix something into the ganache, you could do that. Again, chopped toasted hazelnuts or almonds, pecans, whatever you like. So a lot of ways you can go with this, but talk about making your own candy. They're expensive to buy because of the labor, the process, but if you got the time at home, you can make them ahead and then just enjoy that as your Valentine finale instead of a bunch of cheap candy, right? Oh, rock and talk to the boys. So the flourless chocolate cake. And here's something, again, similar ingredients. You could, track this with even making a chocolate mousse. But for the flourless chocolate, nice one. We offer one at Jake's, and it's chocolate and butter and eggs and sugar. Pretty much four ingredients, except for any flavoring you want. So we're going to have, you have your oven at 350, and you'll need to have a little hot water bath to bake this in. You don't want to bake it just with the dry heat. But you'll melt 12 ounces of bittersweet or semi-sweet chocolate with 1.5 sticks of unsalted butter. You'll have 4 eggs and 1/2 cup of sugar. And with these 4 eggs and sugar, you're going to beat those very, very well. And when it's, say, beat until lemon colored, that's what you want. You want a light color, and it'll be kind of what we call a ribbon stage, where when you pick the beater up out, the eggs kind of will, as the liquid drips back into the pan, it'll kind of pile up a little bit. You want that. It changes the whole character of the eggs. But this is going to put your little bit of leavening in there. It's oftentimes you'll cream butter and sugar and eggs when you're making a cake anyway. So this is your 4 eggs, your 1/2 cup of sugar. So those are ready to go. You'll fold in your melted chocolate and butter. If you want another flavoring in there, fine. But using good chocolate, this should be good. So your pan that you're baking them in, 9-inch round by 2 inches high, you're going to, with soft butter, you're going to butter it and then use either parchment or wax paper and cut around to fit it, the bottom of it, and then you're going to butter that again. Now, some instructions might call for flouring the parchment, but of course, if you're trying to keep it gluten-free, you will not use the flour. Usually the butter in the pan, and then your parchment or your wax paper, and then more butter, and you should be able to unmold it. Make sure you butter around the edges of the pan, too. So the 350 oven, 45 minutes, you're going to have that little bit of hot water bath, which is, you want the water to come up, you know, maybe a half inch up the side of the pan, just like when you're doing a cheesecake. You want to, it keeps that heat nice and evenly, 45 minutes, and then you'll remove it, take it from the water bath, let it cool for a little bit. You might have to use a hot knife to loosen it up from the sides, or maybe not, depending on how well your butter worked. But you'll unmold it upside down onto a plate, and then you peel off your parchment, and you've got your nice flourless chocolate cake. And now, to really enhance this, you make that, have that, if you have a little bit of ganache, you can use it as a glaze or as a frosting on the chocolate cake. Or if you want it a lighter one, instead of, usually you would serve this cake with whipped, just with whipped cream. A lot of, back in the 80s, the raspberry sauce was very big. And if you like that, you know, fruit, strawberries, raspberries, obviously, making a raspberry sauce, you could use fresh or frozen raspberries. Probably for a sauce, the frozen are what you want. They're picked at a peak of ripeness, and you're going to cook them anyway. So if you have frozen raspberries, a little bit of sugar to taste, let them cook and then strain all the seeds out, and you've got a nice sauce. Strawberries work well, just fresh or frozen. Whole strawberries with some sugar, let them cook down. You get a little bit of natural pectin out of the strawberries, so it will thicken up. I like a little orange zest in there. But some little fruit puree like that with a flourless chocolate cake is pretty good. And again, this is something you can make it ahead, chill it. Obviously, it's kind of like a real nice fudge. The other one, the flop cake, or the molten lava cake, same idea. This is another one. They call it, it's probably could call it an almost flourless chocolate. We'd like to use a springform pan for this, for the cake, 9-inch, the one where the sides pop off there like you'd make for a cheesecake, or little fluted ramekins. Or regular ramekins, whatever you want to do. This would call for 10 ounces of good chocolate and 10 tablespoons of butter. We're going to separate the eggs this time. This is going to give it a little bit more leavening to it. A teaspoon of vanilla, a teaspoon of salt. So we're going to melt the chocolate. You'll need probably a quarter cup or so of sugar, depending on the sweetness of the chocolate. You're going to melt the chocolate. You're going to beat the butter and sugar, cream the butter and sugar together until it's light color, the sugar's dissolved. You're going to add your egg yolks, 7 eggs. I thought I might have said 2 before, I meant 7. You're going to add your yolks into the butter and sugar. And then you're going to add your chocolate and your vanilla to that. You're going to whip the whites with a little bit of salt until they're nice and fluffy. And folding these two together, a little bit of a trick, what you do is we have our chocolate mixture. We'll take a little bit of the egg whites, add them to lighten up the chocolate mixture. Don't dump them in all at once because you'll have to fold it too long to get rid of all the white part there. You want this to be homogeneous looking, so it's going to be nice and fluffy. You've got your buttered and floured springform Japan, and this will actually take a couple of tablespoons of flour too. So make sure you sift some flour in there too for the flourless chocolate cake. So 350, probably about 30-35 minutes for this. And the cake will come up, it'll rise a little bit because of the whites, and then what will happen is it might sink a little bit. Sometimes they call it cracked earth cake or broken earth. It's a friend of mine used to call it, a French lady used to call it a flop cake. But very, very good. It'll settle down. It's like kind of like a souffle, and a souffle will fall, but it still tastes good. And this is the one where you might want to drizzle the ganache over top. Keep your nice smooth appearance there. And so it's an almost flourless cake, and then put your ganache over that. Making that souffle, that process, though, if we decided not to bake this, when we come back, we'll turn it into a chocolate mousse. Same idea, separated eggs, melted chocolate, and this time we're going to add some.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's table here. So just to backtrack, that last, the flourless, the flop cake, you do not need to add flour to it if you don't want to. It's kind of like a souffle that's going to settle down. Now to make a mousse, I'm going to start with 6 eggs. I'm going to separate them. We'll need about 2 ounces of either espresso or brandy, a combination, or coffee liqueur. 12 ounces semi-sweet chocolate. Could be chips or could be chopped good chocolate. 2 cups of heavy cream. And a total of 6 tablespoons of sugar. So first of all, we're going to melt the chocolate and add your flavoring to it. You could do it in the microwave or over the water bath. Do you have your egg yolks? We're going to blend those into the chocolate as it's melting. I'm going to stir them well, the 6 egg yolks. We'll have the 6 whites. We're going to beat those till they're stiff peaks. Add 4 tablespoons of the sugar to the egg whites so you have a nice, almost kind of a light meringue. And we're going to whip 2 cups of cream. Add a couple of tablespoons. The remaining 2 tablespoons of sugar would go into your whipped cream. So you have all these ready. So your chocolate mixture with the eggs and the flavoring is in one bowl. You have your whites, and then you have your cream. So first of all, we're going to lighten up the chocolate mixture with some of the whites, and then fold in all the egg white, and then we'll fold in the whipped cream. You want this to be homogeneous. Again, all the colors should be the same throughout. And at this point, you can chill it. We used to freeze it. We would actually spoon the mixture into champagne saucers and freeze them. You could freeze it in a larger bowl if you like and scoop it just like ice cream, or you can put the mousse into individual containers. It should give you about 12 portions. But a nice way to have your own really nice chocolate ice cream. Have chocolate mousse. We've done the same thing with Savillon, the old custard that's normally made tableside and served with fresh fruit. For a Savillon mousse, we'll just need our egg yolks, 8 egg yolks, about 3/4 of a cup of Marsala. I like to use sweet Marsala. A lot of recipes call for dry. I like it. We're going to make a mousse out of this, so that extra sweetness actually helps. And you need a 1/2 cup of sugar and then 2 cups of cream, heavy cream. So over a water bath or low flame if you're good enough in a bowl, we're going to whisk the yolks and the sugar and the Marsala, kind of like when you're making the eggs for a hollandaise. And so whisk constantly, low heat. And this mixture is going to increase in volume and thicken. And you're going to want to watch it. If you think it's thick enough, it should be able to coat the back of a spoon. But what I'll do is take them off the heat, take the custard off the heat, and see if any wine or liquid settles out of it. If it still does, that means it hasn't reached the temperature yet. You want to be careful this not to overheat, because then you'll scramble the eggs. So once this custard is done, you'll let it cool off. You want it to come down to at least room temperature. The quickest way to do it is over an ice bath. Whisk the mixture to cool it till it's at least room temperature, maybe a few degrees lower. You have your heavy cream that you've whipped, 2 cups of cream, and you're going to fold this together. So you've got your nice, you know, strong custard that you could serve warm with fruit. But if you want to make a neat kind of ice cream out of it, you'll just fold it into the whipped cream. Again, you could put in champagne saucers, individual servings, or just freeze it, and you'll have a nice Savillon mousse ice cream. That same line again, if you're, of course, with chocolate, the old got reminded of a recipe for biscuit tortoni, the old tortonis. You've probably all seen those little cups, right? You get sometimes at banquets or parties or even find it in the freezer section. And they have little maybe crushed amaretti or crushed toasted almond on top. This is another kind of what I like to do. I don't have an ice cream maker. And if you want something that's kind of neat, kind of like ice cream, there are many recipes out there. There's some that call for making the actual custard with some egg yolks and simple syrup, heating it, let it stabilizes a little bit more. But I used to make a simple one. I would crush up coconut macaroons, not macarons, not the sandwich cookies, but there are little cookies made with egg white and almond paste and coconut. Now, they're usually kind of chewy, so what you'll have to do is chop those up, dry them out in the oven, so you want them crumbled. Or if you can find a coconut macaroon cookie, again, this now would not be gluten-free, but it would still work. But you'll need heavy cream and some egg whites. So a cup of cream, you've got about a quarter cup of confectioner's sugar. You're going to whip that together and sweeten it with a tablespoon of vanilla extract and maybe a half teaspoon of almond extract. You've got crushed amaretti cookies or your crushed macaroons. You'll need two egg whites. You're going to beat those until they're fluffy with a pinch of salt. And you're going to fold all this together. Your whipped cream, your egg whites, fold in the crushed amaretti. And then you could put in little white, cupcake cups if you like. Or freeze it in a bowl and serve it. There's another procedure I used to do with cream. And I would add the crushed cookies and some rum. Let that soak for a while, a little sugar in that, and so I have two cups of cream for that, and then I would whip another two cups of cream separately, sweetened, and fold them together, and then garnish with your glacé cherry or toasted almonds. But anyway, what you're trying to do is get an ice cream. You have the overrun. You've got the air in there. So if you don't have an ice cream maker, you want something nice, make your own frozen mousse. We've got to take off now. It's the end of the hour. Chef Bill, we're signing off, and talk to you in a week, or maybe two. I don't know if we're live next week or not, President's Day, but anyway, we'll be on the air.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people in that photo.
Northam still faces a chorus of people calling for his resignation. He says he hadn't seen the yearbook until the picture surfaced on Friday. Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox says taking action against him may not be the best course.
And obviously on impeachment, that's a very high standard. And so I think that's why we've called for the resignation. We hope that's what the governor does.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. and your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area.